Hello, this is Beth Ludwig for the Triangle Radio Reading Service. For the next half hour, I shall share with you information from the February issue of Ladies' Home Journal. The content of this program is intended for a print and visually impaired audience. Our first article today is called The Kindness of Strangers. Sometimes reading a tragic story moves you to tears. Sometimes it spurs you to action. Heidi Haler, a single mom from California, felt compelled to do more than just cry when she read an April 2009 Ladies' Home Journal story about Dana, a 35-year-old mother of three who was dying of cancer. Instead, Haler offered her time and help. And she tells us here she received more in return. The article begins. First, it was the story's title that got my attention, Remember Me. It was displayed across the spread of photos showing a pretty young mother and her three adorable children looking happy. As I learned the full details, the mother, Dana, had terminal cancer and was determined to create memories that her 5-year-old twins and 12-year-old son could hold on to after she was gone. I was moved to tears. Then I read a sentence that stopped me short. Everyone fusses over you when you first get sick, Dana said, but after a few months, the novelty wears off and you're forgotten. That line stuck in my mind the rest of the day. I couldn't stop thinking about this woman I had never met, and the next morning I tracked down her number. Divine intervention was clearly involved. All I knew was Dana's name and the town in New Jersey where she lived, but she was listed. I picked up the phone to call, thinking she would probably find a polite way to hang up on me. I introduced myself and asked Dana if she could use someone to help cook, clean, take care of her and her children. The article said she had often trouble summoning the energy to write the letters she wanted to leave behind for her kids, and I told her I could help with those too. I explained that my own children were grown up and living on their own, and that I was in between jobs, so I had the time to take the trip to see her. After a long pause, Dana finally spoke. You're an angel, she said. I need that so much right now. When I got to Dana's house at the end of April, I found her situation was even more grim than I thought. She was too weak to do housework, and the place was in serious need of a deep cleaning. Sean, Dana's husband, had recently left her, and now she was dealing not only with the cancer, but also with the painful loss of her marriage. She was confined to her bed much of the time, so disciplining the children became a challenge. She was also in constant pain, but for the entire month I was there, Dana rarely complained. Her spirit and faith made her invincible. Her twins, Aiden and Sydney, warmed to me right away. Ryan, the oldest, was the quiet one, saying little but watching everything. We had a lot of fun, but there were many times when all the little ones wanted to do was lie with Mommy in bed. Although Dana needed her rest, she never denied her kids. Soon Dana started to get her appetite and strength back. She loved my cooking and told me she could tolerate any medication after eating one of my English muffins with strawberry jam. One time we went together to see the twins at a school play where Dana took enough pictures to wallpaper a room. Ryan, an A student, made his mother proud by being awarded a trip to Washington, D.C. for academic achievement. On many evenings, Dana and I would talk past midnight. After a month, I needed to get back to my life in California. We phoned often, and Dana kept me updated about her condition. But in September, after not hearing from her for a few days, I got worried. I called Dana's mother, and she told me that the cancer had spread to Dana's lungs. She was too weak to take care of the children and needed surgery. Surrounded by her children's drawings in a hospital room, Dana was put on painkillers as her situation grew critical. Her mother and father were at her side, and her sisters had flown to be with her one last time. When Sean paid a visit, he promised to care for the kids after she was gone. Dana died peacefully on October 5th, surrounded by her family. She worried about being remembered after she was gone. But she needn't have. For me and for the people whose lives she touched, her courage, faith, and love for her children made her unforgettable. An educational fund has been set up for Dana's children. Ladies Home Journal readers who would like to make a contribution can send a check to Dana's Children's Education Fund, CO TD Bank, 385 White Horse Pike, ATCO, that's ATCO, New Jersey, 08004. Now it's time for the answer, lady. Questions and answers about manners and morals. The first question. Every time I go to the movies, I wind up sitting near someone who checks his PDA the entire time. The light it gives off drives me crazy. Is it okay to say something? Here's the answer. Well, it might be easier for you to consider moving to another seat. While most theaters run a silence your cell phone reminder at the end of the previews, noiseless nuisances fall into that gray area. Some people think checking texts or email during movies is rude, but apparently many others don't. Maybe these PDA addicts don't realize they're distracting you from fully appreciating Leonardo DiCaprio's talent. But if moving isn't an option, you could lean over and whisper something like, "Is there any way you can dim the screen? The light is bothering me. Thanks so much." Realistically, if you require perfect movie viewing conditions with no risks of talkers, candy crunchers, texters, coughers, or giants with exceptionally good vision, renting a DVD is your best option. Next question. Is there any way to tell someone she has bad breath without embarrassing or insulting her? Should I even try? Answer. The answer depends on how well you know this person. If she's someone you don't have to deal with regularly, a not-so-minty-fresh neighbor, for example, it might be wiser to say nothing. Obviously, no one wants to hear that she has halitosis, and if the news comes from a relative stranger, it's going to sting more than if it came from a friend or colleague. If I were you, the most I'd do in that scenario is pop a stick of gum or mint in my mouth and offer one to the woman. Hey, you're just being polite by sharing, right? If she's someone you have more contact with, like a close friend or a coworker you see frequently, it's okay to be a bit more direct. Work up the courage to give her a gentle hint. Wait until no one else is around, and then offer gums or mints. And ask, "Have you tried these? I think they really help." Yes, it will be an awkward moment, but the beauty of this approach is that you don't actually have to utter the words, "You have bad breath." Here's our next question. A former coworker is job hunting and asks if she could list me as a reference. I like her well enough as a person, but I don't think her work was very good. What should I do? Here's the answer. Tricky. First, check your company's policy. Some businesses forbid giving references, so you may luck out and give that as an excuse. If not, say something like, "I can definitely give you a personal reference, but I don't know that I'm qualified to comment on your work." She may take the hint and ask someone else. Or you can say yes, and if a prospective employer calls you, put a kind but honest spin on your response. Think along the lines of, "Jody was really well liked by the people in the office." Divulge any negative details only if pressed. After all, there's some chance this woman will do a better job for these people than she did for you. Our next article is titled Wealth of Knowledge. Give your kids the skills to make smart financial choices for life. This article is by Kathleen Riley. One lesson parents can take away from these tough economic times: the huge value of making educated choices when managing their money. And it has never been more important for kids to learn finance basics, too. But schools don't usually teach these skills, so it's a job that's largely left up to you. Here are some ways to show your kids the ropes and make a big investment in their future. Set up a payroll. Giving your kids a consistent allowance will help them learn how to manage a cash flow. First, choose an amount you can sustain over time. One easy system is to pay $1 per year of age. So a 13-year-old, for instance, would get $13. Don't combine chores and allowance, or you may wind up nitpicking every line item. Instead, let your children know that they're getting an allowance because they are part of the family team, and they are expected to do their chores as teamwork. If they don't fulfill their responsibilities, consider taking away privileges, not cash. It's okay to pay a bonus for extra chores, like cleaning the garage or doing the laundry for a week, which can be a great incentive. Show them the basics. Before your teen starts making her own money, be it babysitting cash or a check from a real job, make sure she has the tools to handle it. Start by helping her open a savings account. Some banks have student account programs. Such accounts don't normally have fees if she carries a low balance. If your bank doesn't offer this type of program, open a joint account with your child. Ask for an ATM card, which she can use to access her cash. It cannot be used like a credit or debit card. If you have an older teen who's mature and responsible, you can put her on your credit card account and give her a card in her name for emergencies or purchases you have pre-approved. It's a good way to help your teen build her credit. Next, get savvy about savings. When your teen does start earning, teach him to funnel at least 10% of every paycheck automatically into his savings account. You can even start your own version of a 401k plan. Let him know that you'll match every dollar he saves with a dollar of your own, or whatever amount you can afford. He'll soon learn that the more he saves, the quicker his money adds up. Or go old school. Even stashing coins in a piggy bank will help him see that spare change adds up to real cash. If your tween or teen has plans for a new laptop or a gaming system, help him learn how to save for that big goal now. Teach him to calculate how much he has to save every month to pay for the purchase. It will be eye-opening. Learn to spend wisely. When a big family purchase is looming, head to sites like Amazon or ePinions to read reviews and check online prices. Showing kids how to get the best value will carry over to their own spending decisions, whether it's for new jeans or an MP3 player. It's also important to demonstrate wants versus needs. It seems so simple, but how many adults do you know who are living beyond their means and carrying tons of debt? A new water heater is way less exciting than a week at Disney, but showing your kids that you have to make tough decisions and involving them in those choices will help them learn this crucial lesson now. And if your child has already had a money mishap, don't get angry. Walk her through the steps so she can rectify it. Do some extra credit. After your kids have the basics down, tackle advanced concepts like budgets, credit, and investing. Use real-life examples when you can. Show them your actual family budget or pull out Monopoly money to give visuals on how credit card debt can get out of control and how interest really adds up. Make it fun and hands-on to keep them from zoning out. Play games like Charge Large, a board game where the goal is to end up with no debt. Start a simple family business like selling garage items on eBay, or bring savings to life by adding up how much you save when you make burgers together instead of going out. Next, three moms give their quick tips on this money issue. Our first mom is Laura from Florida. She says, our 12-year-old daughter gets $21 a month for her allowance. $7 goes to our church, $7 goes into savings account, and the final $7 is hers to spend however she wants. My parents did the same thing for me, and I had about $1,200 to open a checking account when I was old enough. The second mom, Jen, is from New Jersey. She says, we tried to outdo ourselves by saving as much as possible every time we shop at the supermarket. I've taught my boys to always choose the items that's on sale, but only when it's on our shopping list. When we check out, we always read the receipt to find out how much we've saved. Our last tip is from Beth in North Carolina. One good lesson is to compare what it means to be rich in different countries. I showed my kids an article where a girl says that her ballpoint pen is her most precious possession. She saved up for it for months to buy it. It gave them a whole new perspective on the value of money. Our next article is called The Polite Pet. It's questions and answers about how to have good pet manners. The first question. A friend invites me over to dinner fairly often. She has 3 cats that walk all over the kitchen counters and the dining room table. It's gross. Can I say anything? Here's the answer. You know the saying, cat got your tongue? Pretend it actually happened. Your friend already knows her cats are everywhere. If she didn't like it, she would have already done something about it. If you're compelled to confess how disturbing you find her free-willing felines, maybe you can mention a recent study in the American Journal of Infection Control that shows homes with cats are 8 times likelier to harbor a dangerous strain of staph bacteria than those homes without it. Understand that speaking up could cause damage. If your friendship is more important to you than stating your hygiene standards, your options are inviting her to your place or meeting out for a meal. Our next question. A friend who loves my cat offered to keep him while I went out of town. While he was there, he scratched up one of the wooden legs on her sofa. Do I have to offer to replace it? Here's the answer. You may not have to replace the entire sofa, but you should offer to repair the leg. Show your remorse by doing the required research quickly and by reassuring your friend that you'll stop at nothing to right your kitty's wrong. If your cat is ever invited back, be sure to pack a scratching post and some old socks to cover furniture legs in his overnight bag. Next question. There's an owner at the dog park who never picks up after his pooch. Can I say something to him? Here's the answer. How you approach him will depend on whether the doggy daddy is clueless or calculating. Treating him as the former on your first attempt, say, oh, it looks like Buddy just did his business while your back was turned. Do you need a bag? While this would shame most folks into doing doo-doo duty, don't be surprised if the guy gets defensive or even angry. There are dog owners who actually believe that it's your job to watch where you're walking and not their job to make sure there's nothing to step in. Next question. My father-in-law is consistently slipping my dog table scraps, even though I've told him that people food upsets her stomach. How can I get him to respect my wishes? Answer. Your first move is to determine his motive. If Pop is just looking for a fun way to interact with your dog, you could give him a bag full of pre-approved treats to dole out as he sees fit, or suggest a rousing game of fetch. But if you're convinced your father-in-law is intentionally ignoring your request, you're better off putting your dog away, upstairs or outdoors, during the dinner to remove the temptation. Our last pet question. My sister treats her pets like family members. I don't have a problem with that, but recently she got mad because I didn't buy holiday gifts for the dogs and cats. How can I handle this? Question. Buy presents for the pets. Not doing so, especially after your sister has expressed how hurt she feels when her babies are ignored, could come across as callous. Pets are family members. They provide love and companionship. And don't forget to wrap the trinkets with pretty paper and bows. Your sister will kindly appreciate the kind and thoughtful gesture. Our next article are 6 money tips. Smart money moves for right now. The worst of the bad times may be behind us. The economy is growing again. The stock market has rallied. Even home sales are picking up. But the Great Recession is by no means a distant memory, and many of us still worry about holding on to our jobs. In times like these, keeping an eye on your money and managing it well are more important than ever. You'll ride out periods of economic uncertainty in much better shape if you take time to seriously examine your financial situation and have a plan of action in case the worst, like a job loss, catches you by surprise. Start by opening and reading all those account statements. Then take a look at your pay stubs and calculate your family's living expenses. Separates musts, like food, rent, and utilities, from wants, which are just about everything else. Now, with a clear picture of your family's finances in mind, take these critical steps. Step 1. Build a bigger emergency fund. The traditional rule of thumb for emergency accounts is to have enough set aside to cover your family's needs for at least 3 months. Today, though, when unemployment can drag on, the more savings you can put away, the better. If you don't have anything at all set aside and your job is at risk, forget about paying debt down right now. Start saving before you do anything else. Put emergency funds where they are safe but accessible, such as in a savings or money market account. The internet makes it easy to find the best deals, but keep checking even after you've made your deposit, since interest rates can go up or down without notice. Also, look into online banks, since their interest rates tend to be higher. Number 2, don't stop funding your retirement. All you have beyond Social Security is what you've saved. Saving for retirement is critical, even in tough times. After all, there are so many options for funding a child's college education, but no such thing as retirement scholarships. If your employer matches part of all of your 401k contribution, you need to take advantage of it now. Hesitant to save for retirement because you worry about a possible cash crunch beyond your emergency savings? Here's a compromise. Contribute to a Roth IRA rather than a 401k. What you put in won't be tax deductible, but you can withdraw it in case of an emergency. Tip 3. Ditch expensive debt. Running a credit card balance can be a huge money drain, especially considering today's interest rates. Without touching your emergency fund, pay off as much of your credit card debt as you can and as quickly as you can, starting with cards that carry the highest interest rate. Step 4. Find creative ways to trim. Chart how much you've been spending on non-essential expenses like restaurants, movies, cable TV. It may be far cheaper to buy only what you really need. Also, look at last year's tax return. If you got a big refund, then you're having too much deducted. It's nice to get money back after you filed, but it's better off getting it each week in your paycheck. To adjust how much taxes get withheld, increase the withholding allowance by changing the number of dependents that you claim on your W-4. Another way to save? Raise the deductibles on your car, homeowners, even health insurance. Since savings vary depending on the situation and policy, talk to your insurance broker. And reconsider your life insurance. Too many people take out an expensive, permanent life policy that remains in effect until they die. Term life, which lasts for a fixed period, is more affordable. Step 5. Consider refinancing your mortgage. It's not easy to refinance right now, but even if you can, because you have great credit and home equity, proceed with caution. Refinancing fees can negate the benefits of a lower monthly payment. That means if you're likely to be moving soon, this may not be the best time to refinance, especially if your payments are already affordable. On the other hand, if you're planning to stay put long enough for your monthly savings to add up to more than the cost of refinancing, you can probably reduce the rate you pay by a percentage point. Refinancing to a low fixed rate is even more important if your current loan is adjustable or has a balloon payment in the future. Shop around and ask your bank if it offers a refinancing program with reduced fees. If you do decide to refinance, resist the urge to roll credit card debt into the new loan. You'll be turning short into long-term debt, and eventually you will pay more. Our last tip, be smart about credit. The fact that it's hard to borrow money means it's more important than ever to be considered creditworthy. It's much easier to get approved for a loan if you have a high credit score. It also helps you to negotiate lower interest rates on your mortgage or credit cards. You're judged on the information on your credit card, maintained by the three agencies, Equifax, Experian, and TransUnion, and on your FICO score, which can range from a poor 300 to a stellar 850. To find out where you stand, get a copy of your report via annualcreditreport.com. Don't confuse this free service with those that require a contract or monthly fee. You can also obtain your FICO score for $16 via myfico.com. That free report is available on annualcreditreport.com. Be sure to protect your credit rating, too. Contact the three agencies if you find any errors in the report. Pay bills on time. Don't max out your credit cards, but don't just close accounts either, especially since your FICO score is partly based on how long you've had credit. And even more important, the ratio of credit available to you to what you're actually using. At the same time, though, you can be penalized for having credit cards you don't use. So what's the solution? Use cards occasionally for small purchases, then pay off the balance. If having too many cards available means too much temptation, consider closing an account, but not if you are planning to refinance, buy, or rent a home, or make another large purchase within the next 3 years. With Valentine's coming up, here are just a few suggestions to do, of things to do to say I love you. Number 1, wrap a red bandana around your dog's collar. 2, make it a TV-free night. 3, see a Valentine's Day movie, such as the new Jennifer Gardner movie, starring Patrick Dempsey and Julia Roberts. Next, make heart-shaped peanut butter and jelly sandwiches for the kids' lunch. Take a couples class in cooking, massage, or yoga. Give cookies to the crossing guard or bank teller. We've run out of time for today's episode From Soups to Nuts. Be sure to listen at the same time next week. We hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Beth Ludwig, reading for the Triangle Radio Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for a print and visually impaired audience. This program is readily available as a podcast after the broadcast. So long, until next time.